This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This song was made for me, not in like
what?
A this was made for me, but like
actually made
a friend
for
of mine made me this song. It was a birthday present.
What?
I know.
Are there words?
No.
It's just a beat for you to dance.
Just
to.
A beat.
Sounds like a Beyonce song.
It does. Like Countdown?
Yeah. It's like Homecoming.
Oh, right.
Megan Thee Stallion's Homecoming.
Oh, it's so cool. Making music? I could never.
I really want to learn to do that. Apparently, it's still one of the most like male-dominated industries where there's no like female producers.
I can believe that. My like three or four friends that do it are all males.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Same.
Look at that. All
Should
right.
we become music producers?
I guess so. That's what I'm doing after this. Let's have some fun. Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. Welcome to another episode of Just a Tip, an advice podcast that's equally about its tangents as it is about its tips. I'm your host, Megan Batune, and today to help me help you in the flesh is Ashley Perez in the studio with us.
Hello.
What a beautiful podcasting voice.
Oh, thank you.
We are wearing almost the same outfit.
And truly, it was almost the same full outfit, but I can't wear a full long sleeve. We're both wearing overalls, different colors.
We both have hydro flasks.
Hydro flasks, and we're both wearing like a...
Mock neck.
Yeah, mock neck. Yours too.
Mine's a turtleneck, but...
You made it a mock neck?
Yeah. I just folded it under. Oh, we're starting hot, hot, hot. You all may know Ashley as a writer for Freeform's Good Trouble and also from BuzzFeed.
Yes.
But after a quick internet stalk, I like to really dive in instead of talking about accomplishments. Good job, good job, good job.
Thank you.
Want to hear more about who you are as a person. And I stalked you on the internet.
Oh, my God.
And I found out that you, quote, believe that Kirsten Dunst is the reason we're all gay.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Wait, this is what happens when I tweet and I forget that everyone can see it. And then later, a lot of times, actually, this has happened to me where somebody quotes back something I tweeted. She is the reason we're all gay, at least a majority of us.
But what about Missy from Bring It On?
Oh, Missy, too. Oh, yeah. I didn't, you know, it's a disservice. I did it because Kirsten Dunst was being honored with a Hollywood star.
Oh.
And so, also, big debate, Kirsten Dunst.
I get confused and nervous.
Yeah.
So I just kind of plow through the whole thing. I say, "Kay Dunst."
Yeah, she's definitely the reason that I'm gay, or at least part of it.
She's cool. I think if I were more on that side of the spectrum, it would be Cameron Diaz in Liar Liar with the red dress.
Oh, yes.
Introducing Cameron Diaz. That was her first role.
She looks like so baby-faced in that role.
God. She's a wowzers.
I forgot about that. Basically, yeah, that makes sense.
And Mila Kunis. She's my everything. She is my everything. But enough of Mila Kunis. This is not a podcast about her, which would be awesome.
Yet.
I want to start with a game to get to know you a little bit more.
Great. No more Twitter stalking.
No more Twitter stalking. That's all we get. This game is called Bursa Firsts. It's one round of rapid fire questions, everything from your first job to the first time you cried in public, etc.
Oh.
But this is a game for me. I like this because I can kind of do
this
whatever.
Is your show. in fact.
It's only hitting me right now that I can do whatever I want in my life.
Wow, this is a deep moment. You're going to talk about it in therapy soon.
Whenever I yell stop, I'm not going to yell it. Whenever I say stop, you have to explain, elaborate, or tell the full story if stay stop at all.
Okay, great.
Okay.
I understand.
Those are the rules. Here's the game. Mm-hmm. What was your first job?
A hot dog on a stick.
Cool.
No, for the uniform.
First cell phone.
I don't even know what it was. It was a flip phone that had the bowling game on it. That's what I remember.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. First pet.
A dog named Max. Well, before that, a fish named Sonic that my other fish ate.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wait, I do want to stop here. Like one random day?
I had a fish. No, actually, sorry. My fish, Sonic, ate all of the other fish that we bought.
Whoa.
He was a goldfish, and we put him in with guppies and stuff, and then literally there were just bones floating in our...
Stop.
It was very, very a gruesome introduction into pets.
Oh, my God.
Except for I was kind of like, okay, I get survival of the fittest now.
And they look delicious.
Exactly. He got beefy.
Oh, my God. Moving on. What was your first kiss location?
In seventh grade at a choir festival when the adults had left, and then I got detention for my first kiss, and both of my parents had to be pulled into a meeting. And his parents.
How memorable. Gonna stop here, too.
Yeah. It was disastrous.
Wait, it was a seventh grade.
It was seventh grade. We had our first kiss, and then we just could not resist on, like, it was like a weekend concert thing far away for some big seventh grade choir thing, and then we got... on Monday, we were passing each other notes of like, did you think I was a good kisser? And then my teacher grabbed it, read it, and then we got in trouble because I feel like it was slut shaming and we got in trouble for kissing, but also we had like been left behind or we had like avoided going on the bus so that they would have to come back. And of course we were like, let's place them in the bottle. So it was terrible because his parents were there and my parents were there and they were like, so you guys kissed. And both of us were like, yes.
Oh my God. What was the punishment? Just detention?
Yeah. Oh. We had to like, I don't know if chalkboards were still a thing. You know, you used to have to clean erasers. No child will feel that anymore. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say it's like the intro of The Simpsons when Bart is writing like whatever he's writing over and over.
Yes. That's why children have carpal tunnel.
What is your first choice in a karaoke book?
Oh, probably something by the Spice Girls.
Mm-hmm.
Or Bitch by Meredith Brooks.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. First major purchase.
I bought a car, but before that, I bought this Sony computer that was like a Sony Vaio, and it was like a big giant laptop, and it had a fold-out computer, and I spent all my summer money on it, and I loved it, and I still miss it. I wish I'd kept it.
Summer money?
Yeah.
Like you were having summer jobs?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cool. What was your first internet screen name?
A-N-A, lowercase a, capital N-B, capital B, baby 63. It stood for Ashley N. Benj, who was the guy that I like, baby, and 63 was the number of another guy that I liked.
There's so much unpack in this one AIM screen name. Did Benj or the 63 man know?
No, I don't think so. I think I told them some like truth or dare thing later. I was like a real creep level before. Thank God I didn't have the internet as a child, like in the way we have now, because who knows what I would have done.
Wow. I love this. First thing you think when someone doesn't answer the phone?
They're dead.
Mm-hmm. First celebrity crush?
Kirsten Dunst.
First concert?
Britney Spears. Oops, I did it again. 2000. I was in the very, very, very back row, like literally touched the back of the thing. And the entire, I don't remember almost any of it because the entire time I just kept thinking, that is Britney Spears, and I'm in the same room as Britney Spears, even though she was like a tiny little pea from my eyesight.
Right. Oh, sick. What was your first scar?
Probably on my elbows for riding my bike. I have scars on both elbows from riding my bike.
At least you're matching.
Mm-hmm.
First thing you do when you like someone?
That, basically.
First show you binge watched?
Binge watched The Office in college. Mm-hmm.
First excuse you make when trying to cancel plans?
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize that I had blank. I was like, oh my God, have I ever canceled plans with you, Megan? And so I didn't want to give it away.
I always feel bad when I ask that because I'm like, surely we've all done it and it's fine. But I'm like, if anyone asked me this question, I'd be like, First time you cried in public as the last first.
I've never cried in public.
Never?
Mm-mm. I've recently just learned to cry in therapy.
Oh, how has that been going?
Great. It's a lot of tears.
Sometimes I feel like when I'm in therapy and I'm like about to cry, I'm like, you want this, so I'm not going to do it. But then I'm like, this is what I'm paying for.
And then your therapist is like, we have to unpack that. That's unhealthy.
And sometimes I'm like, I know that we need to go there. And that's why I keep showing up.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I'm like,
It's very shocking.
I don't want to. Like, I know I need to, but I don't want to.
As an adult, also, it's very weird to cry in front of another adult that's just looking you dead in the eye in a small room. So go
and
to therapy.
They're just waiting.
They're waiting. And they're like, but you know what was really nice? My therapist has always, every time I've cried, has been like, this is good. I'm proud of you, which is what's helped me be able to cry more. Because I think everybody gets told, like, don't cry.
Right. Mm-hmm. I love it. I talk about it in almost every podcast.
Amazing.
I would love to talk about it there. Oh my God, hilarious. I just looked down at our viewer question, and it's called Wrong Therapy.
Oh my God, amazing.
So this is actually a perfect segue.
Wow.
Look at this. Look at the world working for us.
It is.
Here we go.
Hi, Megan. I'm 25, and I recently wanted to start going to therapy just to understand my natural triggers and behaviors and what from my childhood has kind of impacted me now. Mm. And so I started going to therapy with an older Caucasian lady, and I'm a person of color. And so I just felt that she didn't relate to a lot of the things, like a lot of the family dynamics I would discuss, or she just kind of would blank stare at me when I would start talking about something, and I just felt like she was bored. So after two sessions, I stopped going to her, and it was just really exhausting, kind of just laying out everything about my life to someone and then kind of having to start over. So I'm in the search for a new therapist, but I wanted to see if you had any recommendations on how to find one. And I know they always say therapy is like dating, but I want to find one before I basically have to tell my life story to 10 different people. So if you have any advice on therapists that you've loved in the past or what's worked for you, I would love that. Thank you so much.
I love this question.
I cannot be more excited that we're talking about therapy.
No, me too.
It's so important. Oh my God, it's so important. This is a great question. It's like one of the basics of therapy that is the most difficult.
Yeah. How long did it take you to find yours?
It took a while. Actually, I had one therapist before this, who was also my mom's therapist. Wouldn't recommend that.
Whoa.
And then I had this therapist. But I think the biggest thing for me with therapy is I've gone back and forth from this therapist like 3 times and seen other people in between because this therapist really challenged me. And literally whenever she did, I would be like, goodbye.
Yeah.
I literally would. She was, as we were circling around my like sexuality and stuff, she was like, so do you think you might be gay? And I was like, you're gay, goodbye. I just left for like a year and then I had to come back and be like, I am queer and you were right and let's talk about it. But it's hard. How long did it take you to find your therapist?
It feels like forever. I've tried to think 4 at this point in time. And the thing is, I give them all a month, like before I'm...
Yeah, yeah. Like dating. I also, do you have a therapy is like dating shirt? Because I want it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That, it is.
Please.
I mean...
And also just like, we should talk about therapy more as a society.
I agree. I think the first couple of times, you're just kind of laying out your backstory before you can even start doing the work, which is what I hate. Like, that's the worst part. I think I saw a meme once that was like, it had some girls, like all of her... like his top line items of like what her life is. It was like, my parents got divorced at 6.
PowerPoint.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And I was like, oh, that's good. Like, I feel like we should do that to find a therapist, but the whole thing is talking about it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is going to be annoying in the beginning to try and find a therapist. The way that I did it, I just went on therapist.com or something like that.
Yeah, mine was from a friend, which has also been a good recommendation way that I've found. And I've actually recommended my therapist to other friends, and sometimes it's a good fit, sometimes it's not. But actually, a lot of therapists like working within kind of a network of people too. So you could always ask your friends who are in therapy, is your therapist taking new clients right now?
Yeah, that's so smart. Mm-hmm. One of my friend's therapists, I'm like, I love her. I want to go to her too.
I know. You know what's so funny? All of my friends, we all know each other's therapist names. So our friends will be like, I was talking to Ginger, I was talking to Sunny, or I was talking to Linda. And we're like, oh my God, how's Linda?
That's so good.
But you know what I found? And we can digress a little into this after we actually answer her question, but I don't have very many male friends who almost every single one of my female friends goes to therapy, and I don't have very many male friends who are like actively going to therapy.
Interesting.
Do you have a ton.
Really? Almost all my male friends are in therapy and my female friends aren't.
Whoa.
It's weird. It is super weird. Everyone that comes on the podcast, a lot of the females talk about, well, you know what? I think it's because I think I'm attracting like-minded people. So everyone that comes on the podcast has either had a therapist or is doing the work themselves. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But like in my life, it's only the men that are doing it.
Wow.
But maybe it's because they're stand-ups and they're in comedy.
Oh,
and like they,
yeah.
They need that. I mean,
yeah.
We all need it.
Yeah.
But I think it does really well for comedians.
Mm-hmm. Comedians are often funny because we're sad.
That's what it takes.
Uh-huh.
But I do think it takes a long time.
She has a lot of elements, this question, too. It's like being a person of color, that is hard. My therapist currently is a person of color, and I relate to her so much more.
Cool.
And she relates to me in terms of, we're not the same race, none of that, but just in terms of having immigrant parents, having those kinds of standards, understanding family dynamics. And I don't think that it has to be that the same person that you're seeing is your same race, social class, gender, all of that. But it certainly helps if those people understand their biases or their weaknesses or what they don't understand. Because I have female friends who have amazing male therapists that they love, you know.
That was always my dream, like to have an older brother and a male therapist that is like kind of like a psychotherapist.
I wanted an older brother too.
Oh,
I don't know why it's a thing.
That would be so cool.
I think
cool.
In movies, there's always like a cool older brother.
Yeah. And like the girl's a tomboy, which I was.
Yes.
And
mm-hmm.
That would be so cool.
I mean,
so
we're
cool.
Both in overalls. We can tell.
We get it. We see eye to eye. No, I do think that that's really important too. My therapist is, when I started going to my therapist now, I wrote in my journal, I was like,
oh, yeah.
I really like my therapist, but I worry that she won't like me.
Yeah.
Or like, I think she's too cool for me. I want to be friends with her, so I don't think I can keep going.
Oh my God.
Then I was like, oh, this is a challenge for me. Mm-hmm. If I like think this girl is super cool, mm-hmm. and I want to put on my best face and I want her to mm-hmm. think I'm cool, maybe this will be really good for me to like let go.
Yeah. Well, it's literally something to talk. I talked to my therapist one time. I said something of like, yeah, and I didn't figure out what like I was going to say before. She's like, are you thinking about what you're going to say every time before? I'm like, yes. Doesn't everyone do that? And she was, but like a good therapist, like you can say anything. And it's not that they're constantly psychoanalyzing you. It's just a good therapist is a sounding board for why do you believe that thing? It's not necessarily always that you're wrong. It's just sometimes like a way for you to see what you're not even questioning about your life.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like what you're saying about a month because I think that is true. I had a therapist. I did Talkspace in between leaving my current therapist for a little bit. And, my girlfriend does Talkspace and she loves it and has a great relationship with her therapist. But I did Talkspace and I found that my therapist was very nice. But if you're very wordy, like for me, I'm a writer, I found it was way too easy to get around what I had to actually deal with without being face to face with someone. Like she was very nice. I was able to like put it exactly the way I wanted in writing and not ever have that like human to human interaction. But I think it works differently for everyone else. So
I think so too.
Just try all the forms.
It wasn't Talkspace, but it was something like that where it wasn't a video chat. It was a text messaging.
Yeah.
But I'm just, I'm like word vomit. And with my therapist, if I'm talking about a story and my shoulders go up, she'll say, what just happened?
Mm-hmm.
And you can't get that when you're doing text-based therapy, which is, like you said, good. I mean, that's what I'm calling it now.
Yeah, no, that's what my therapist, I walked in one time and I was like, I guess whistling. And she's like, why are you doing the whistling thing? What's going on? And I was like, the what thing?
The whistle. Do you do this a lot?
I don't know. I guess when I'm like nervous, I kind of like whistle or like
just a little musical stint.
Yeah, just like to like calm myself down. I don't know what it is. So if you ever hear me whistling the street, please ask me if I'm okay.
Let's see another part of this. Trying to hit every single part of this.
Yes.
So we talked a little bit about having the same views and ideals mm-hmm. and biases with your background. Mm-hmm. We talked a little bit about finding a therapist. Mm-hmm. She said, after two sessions, I stopped going to her, and it was really exhausting laying out my life to someone and having to start over. That part does suck, but that is the part that you have
That's
to
a game.
Do.
Yeah. It is like dating. It's like, honestly, I always used to say about dating, the worst part about dating is not a bad date. It's a middle ground date where you're not sure. Mm. And you're just like, that was tiring because it wasn't great. It wasn't energizing, but they weren't awful. And so I just wish I would have been home instead. And I feel like going to a therapist who doesn't quite get you feels like the same, especially because in this country, we have to pay so much money to go to therapy
Oh
my God, I just paid like $150 for this consult.
Right.
And that's not the person. But I will also say therapists are professionals and they understand too that they might not be right for you. And so don't feel weird or awkward. I've also had a lot of friends who had to like, they like ghosted their therapist because they felt weird about it. And I'm like, they're professional. They understand, you know, like,
yeah.
Don't be afraid to have like an awkward interaction with them and just be like, thank you so much for your time. I don't think we're right for each other in this work. And they'll be most of the time super gracious about it.
They should be the ones that would understand the most
yes.
about being broken up with.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I maybe ghosted one of mine, but we were having such a good time. Like, she was good, but there's always something wrong with like my first therapist. She only wanted to talk about childhood stuff because she was a childhood trauma therapist.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which is good. And I yeah. definitely needed that. But I was like, I want to talk about all these boy problems I have day to day. And the universe works the way it does. And I needed that at that time.
Yeah.
So, and that was maybe 6 months or something like that.
Yeah.
And then I found another one who didn't talk at all. She only let me talk. And she would like look up a lot and not at my face. And I was like, no, this is a no. And then I tried another one and she would yawn. And I was like,
yawn?
Yes.
Oh my God.
And I went on one, and all of these I had for multiple months.
Yeah.
And then I tried one for only one session and she didn't let me speak at all.
Oh, what?
It was crazy.
That's bizarre.
She was like trying to, I guess, regurgitate what I had said to show that she was listening, but it would just be, yeah.
You can just, that's it. That's all you need.
Just nod your head.
There's nonverbal ways to do that.
Right. And then I found my therapist now, and it was so funny because on the phone, I was explaining to her all of these kind of failed therapist dates. And I mentioned the looking away thing. I mentioned the yawning thing. And she was super upfront. She was like, I'm going to be honest with you. Like, if I have had a long day, like, I might yawn. And that's human. And if that's okay with you, I would love to work with you. And it's like, oh, yeah. The way, yeah.
I think it's just addressing the yawning. You don't, if you say, sorry, I'm tired, then you're not like, okay, it's about me. But if someone is just yawning in front of you while you're talking, it's like, I'm so sorry.
It's like, I'm paying money to feel bad where I should be working on feeling bad. So yes, it takes a lot of time. But I think after a month, like four sessions, if you go every week, you should know if you feel safe.
How do you know though? Because I think that's a question a lot of people have of like, how do you know whether this is a good therapist for you?
Ooh.
Because it's not always that you're excited to go to therapy. Often the real therapy that you need is the one that you don't want to do.
Yeah.
And so I don't think it's like a great thing to be like, you'll just know because you'll have this nice feeling. So like, what are the ways that kind of let you feel like, oh, I'm making progress as you went like four times or something like
yeah.
that?
Yeah. I think initially it's, do you feel like you can be open with this person? And are they creating a space where you can talk openly and giving you feedback? I mean, it all depends on, I guess, what the person wants too. Like, do you want someone that's giving you feedback? Do you want someone just to listen to you? It's all, I guess, like based off of the style you want.
I have a friend who like needs to kind of have homework to feel like she's doing something. And her therapist is like, I will give that to you for now. But also like, that's a thing we need to talk about.
Totally. Yeah. What about for you? What's like the, if you had to choose one main quality that makes you feel like this is the right fit?
I'm trying to think of what made me feel safest about being with my current therapist. You know what it was for me? Like, I'm someone who, when my therapist told me, this is very like funny, but now, but we were in like a session and she was like, she doesn't talk very often. And then she talked and she was like, you're obsessive and addicted to chaos. And I was like, I had so many emotions.
Dare you?
And I was so offended. And I was like, all of this stuff. And then, of course, always the most insightful stuff, no matter what, comes at the end of therapy. It's like always happens that way. And then
it's like, we don't have any more time for this, but here's a big nugget about
you. Exactly.
Like, oh my God.
And then I thought about it all week and I was like, I get what she's saying, and it's something I didn't know about myself. And so I think if you can like let that defensiveness down a little bit, if the therapist says something to you that resonates and feels true, particularly something you might not have known before, then I feel like that's a good sign that, oh, this person can be helpful to me. If they're just parroting everything back that you're saying or saying stuff that seems so way off base or irrelevant or not helpful or only want to talk about childhood trauma or whatever it is, then I think you can kind of tell. But if you get one nugget, even if it doesn't feel the most comfortable, like you also have to get used to just going to therapy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not something everyone does all the time. And if you don't have a group of friends who are also going to therapy all the time, it's a weird thing to like go into a room with a random stranger, tell them all of your thoughts and feelings.
Right, yeah.
Know, cry.
Yeah, totally. I think the insight tip is really good. Mm-hmm. Anytime that happens, I'm like, this is worth it.
Yeah.
And sometimes you don't get those. Like even now, I'll be in and I'm just kind of processing my thoughts and it's fine. I'm not getting really anywhere. But I think when I hear myself talk, I think that's when I process everything the most. Is like when I can hear myself being like, whatever I'm saying doesn't matter right now. And then my therapist did kind of what you did and what yours did and telling you this is how you are.
Yes.
Because mine doesn't do that. She's just asking me questions. I mean, I guess that's like hits harder if I were to find it out myself.
Yeah.
But
she's only done that to me like twice. And both of the times have been like very profound. So I think she kind of saves it when it's stuff that like is, okay, you're never going to get here. This is like a really big blind spot.
Yeah. Ooh, I should ask her what my blind spot is.
You should. That's a good question. And you could just be like, I'm just curious that we've been working together this long. Do you think that there's something that is my blind spot?
Yeah.
Who knows what she'll say?
Oh, my God. I asked a friend what my blind spot was the other day.
Really?
It
Why?
Was so what? Vulnerable. Because I was a little bit perturbed about one of my friendships and I didn't know how to navigate it. And he is a mutual friend of ours. And we were just kind of talking about how it was affecting me. And then I was like, can I ask you something? I was like, do I have a blind spot? And he was able to tell me an answer. And it really wasn't a blind spot because I knew it about myself.
Yeah.
But I just, can you imagine? I mean,
you gotta be good friends with someone for them to tell you your blind spot.
Oh my God. I'm not someone. I told this to another friend and they're like, what's my blind spot? And I was like, you don't have one. And like, I should have been honest, but like, I can't, I couldn't. It's not my, I can't.
I always do the same thing. I ask questions that I have no answer to at all. Is this why you have a podcast? Is that what this is?
I do. It is nice to get in deep. But the other day I was talking to my therapist, and she had said something that, I mean, every time she says something that rocks my world, I do the same thing. I, like, see how it keeps affecting my life, like, the week in between seeing her again. But this time, she asked me to tell her about one of my boyfriends that I never talk about. And I was like, I don't know. I hardly remember anything. And then she was like, her eyebrows lifted and she was like, well, okay, we should talk about this then. And instead of telling her the one nugget of how that relationship affected me, I started talking about how I met him. And even before that, I was setting up like backstory of people that introduced me to him. And it was so verbose. And she was like, can you just take a breath right now because you're talking a mile a minute. And now just tell me how he affected you. And then I got so embarrassed and I answered her question and then I was like, can I reroute this conversation and talk about what's happening in my body right now? Because I feel my clavicles like itching and I'm really, really embarrassed. And she was like, she asked me why, and I was like, I feel so dumb for talking about all of these frivolous details that don't matter. Mm. And because I saw her eyeline shift in the middle of my story, and I was like, she's bored.
Uh-oh, yeah.
And now I hate this. And so I was like, I just always care about what people think, and I don't want anyone to be bored, and I don't want this to be a waste of your time.
Mm.
And she was like, this isn't a waste of my time. This is your time.
My therapist says that to me all the time. She's like, you're paying to be here. This is your time. We do what you want with it.
That's true. And I'm like, and then I was like, but you have to be here too. And she's like, that's right. It's our time. Yeah. But she was like, the fact that I cared so much about what other people think about me.
Yeah.
I was caring what my therapist is thinking about me. I just felt so
bad. Did you not know
that
before?
No, I knew I cared so much about what other people thought of me. But the being in therapy, it's like, that's the one person that I should not care.
Yeah.
But I do.
Listen, when I can make my therapist laugh, I don't want to admit
this.
Oh my God. But it is best feeling in the entire world. If you make your fucking therapist laugh, and I've made her like belly laugh before where she was just shocked by what I said.
Yeah.
And it's really hard for me to not just like be on cloud nine and be like, I don't need to talk about anything anymore.
You like go out on a high?
Yes.
Thank you. I'll be here all week.
When your therapist shares a nugget about themselves.
Ooh.
And you're like, oh, you're a person in the world. Oh, my God. Now I know that you have a husband.
Yes.
Which she has a wedding ring, so I should have known that. But I was like, but you told me about him.
So we're friends now.
Yeah, exactly.
I making them laugh is so, so good. This
is your therapist a woman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This has nothing to do with therapy, but making people laugh. I was on the phone with a Pottery Barn customer service representative, and I was crushing Ashley. I was laying down the fire, and I got a discount. And
oh my god!
I was like, I did one open mic, and I was like, if only they can see me now on this Pottery Barn 800 number.
I'm actually really good with checkout people.
Yeah.
I don't know why. You know, though, I'm not a good flirter in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've made like 15 to 20 checkout people actually fall in love with me in like 2 minutes. I don't know what it is about the genre of
the
flirting. But I think it's just like cracking jokes when people are bored and like, I think that's how I entertain myself, just like kind of narrating things. And so it'll usually happen. I say something under my breath. They laugh. We like keep making jokes, and then I'm like, oh my God, is this how I should date people?
Do you say something under your breath, like observational about your items?
Yeah, or like anything. Yeah, usually. I can't, I'm always nervous that people aren't gonna like me and that I'm not gonna have anything to say. And almost all my relationships form that way, where it's like I kind of say something funny under my breath and then we start joking at each other. But I actually have no clue like what my humor is, if that makes sense.
Oh, really?
No, I don't know what it is about me that like makes me funny. Like I can't replicate. Every time people are like, oh my God, Ashley's so funny. And then weirdly people are like, can you tell a joke? And I'm like, no, what?
Never.
But that's when I'm like, am I funny? I don't know. I can't tell you a joke right now.
Oh my God. I feel like that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It is interesting. I wouldn't even be able to, I guess, label my funny either. But I think when you stop trying to label it, that's when you're just like allowing it to happen.
God knows the least funny people are people who are trying to be funny all the time.
Oh my God. Tell that to me every time I am falling for someone. Because my text messages.
Is that what you do?
Dude, when my texts when I'm. Someone? They're fucking horrible. I swear to God, like, I would block me if I texted me.
What do you do? Like, send what? I need to know. Stop. Okay, stop. Please tell me.
They're just
more
like
about
so
this.
Long-winded and they're so try hard.
But like set up punchline or like what kind of funny are you trying to be in text messages? Because a good GIF, a well-placed GIF, great.
Yes.
But what I don't understand what you're doing.
It's not structured. No set up punchline. It's literally me just trying to like have interesting diction to be like, I'm smart. It's bad.
You know, the worst.
It's all bad.
My one thought, like, whenever I see a pair of Nike shoes, I, like, need to buy them. I'm like, oh, my God, I need new Nikes. I don't know what it is about it. But I think it's from the scene in What Women Want, where she's doing that Nike campaign in her brain. And I'm like, wow, this is the coolest that a woman could be. And so it's, like, sunk into my brain. But the other day I was like, I've been trying to do this thing where since I'm trying to like buy less stuff, where I make myself say, why do you want that thing?
Ooh.
Which is like probably the easiest hot tip on a tip podcast. Just like when you have an impulse buy, write down why you want it, not just what it is. And so I saw this girl walk out with the cleanest Nikes and I was like, why do I want these Nikes? And my thought was to be effortless, to appear. And I was like, so much effort is going into me wanting to be effortless. I want to go online, buy these Nikes, find the exact ones so that I can look as cool as this girl who just got out of a random car going into a Silver Lake bakery. And I was like, she's fucking cool and she's effortless.
She's effortless.
But honestly, if you do that tip, you learn a lot about what is important to you, and mainly it's just your insecurities.
Totally.
Like, most of us just buy stuff to, like, mask our insecurities.
Absolutely. I would love to write a journal, you know, like a daily gratitude journal.
Oh, yeah.
But instead of gratitude, why I want to buy things, yeah. And then just look down and see, like, line by line, like, oh, I want to buy that because that girl looked pretty in it. I want to buy that because this other person has it. It's like,
that's exactly what I have.
God.
And then when you look back at it, I found out, I have coffee at home, all the coffee that I like from the places that I go to, but I still want to go get coffee. And I was like, why am I doing this? And it's to feel productive. Oh. When I don't feel productive or when I'm like stuck writing and I feel like I want to be part of like a creative class of people, coffee is so in that, like in my head.
Yeah.
And so I'll go spend that money. But really it's about me not knowing how to do my work or being frustrated by the work. And so it's like, oh, how do I address that?
That's
versus just buying coffee.
An incredible tip. That's not going to therapy tip.
I told my therapist that I was doing this and she went, oh, that's great. And I was like, yes, this is even better than making you laugh.
Validation from a therapist.
Yep.
Oh, my God. When my therapist started giving me hugs without asking, I was like, I wouldn't ask for hugs. She, in the beginning, she'd be like, do you want a hug? Mm. And I'd be like, yes, sure, okay. And then now she just gives them to me, and I'm like, yeah, baby, I got her.
There's so many weird mind games with having a therapist. Just be prepared. When you do find your therapist after listening to this great podcast, there will be mind games involved.
Let me see if we've touched on every single part of this question. Yes. I think we've done a really good job. So
perhaps too thorough.
Us. Let's see. The last part of it would be any advice on a therapist you've loved in the past, so what's worked for you. I think we touched on that.
Yeah, we definitely did. Make a therapist that thinks you're funny is what works for us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, before we get into anything else, let's take a break. I'm having a blast.
Moi aussi.
Ooh.
Me too.
I was going to make a joke, but then I didn't. Do you ever do that when you're like, I should say this now? And
pretty
then
pretty much every day.
Oh, my God.
But the problem is usually I say it and then I regret it.
Ooh,
yeah.
That's fun.
Yep.
I've never, that's my, one of my issues is I just keep everything bottled up. What if there was a room where you could go into and then it had every joke that you didn't tell on the walls?
That's probably the room of requirement in Harry Potter. You could ask that.
I need to read all the Harry Potter books. We're going to take a little break while Ashley gives us a piece of advice you can find at Just a Tip Podcast on Instagram, and we'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
The vet told us that our cat is too fat, which he is, but my girlfriend took it personally on me and she was like, you ask the vet again. I'm like, you think I'm just saying that James is too fat just because I want to? Like, no, it's real facts. And then we went back there and he had lost some weight and then she had to like double confirm because she took it personally.
How did he lose weight?
We just gave him less food.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Does he, this is just a cat to cat owner question.
Oh, yeah. How many cats do you have?
Just two.
Okay, cute.
I guess not
they're
just.
They're adorable.
They're fucking
I forget every once in a while I see a cat on your story and they're so fucking cute.
Oh, my God. They're amazing. But do yours, like, really want food all the time or fine?
We've trained him to only get food twice a day and he never makes noise. He's not a vocal cat except for when it's time to get food and he'll go, meow, just like one. But he recently has been like waking up and is like so hungry.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is going on? So are your cats always hungry?
Always. And always eating my food, always on
My cat, he does not eat any human food or anything like that.
I wonder if I can...
You can get,
them.
You can, and you can also get, since you have multiple cats, do they eat at the same time from the same bowl or in different bowls?
I have like one automatic feeder, but feeds both of their food. It's probably not the best way to do it.
No, I think that could, I just watched this like 18 minute long YouTube video of someone who had multiple cats, but one ate more than the other.
Yeah, that's probably what happens to mine.
And so one of them was always hungry, and there's this thing that you can buy that it like has a microchip collar, or if they have a microchip, you can basically link it to their microchip and it will only open for that cat. So they can only eat from their food. So you know exactly how much food each cat is eating.
What if one of the cats went up to the, like if I were to have two of those,
yes.
What if one cat went to it and opened up and then the other cat wanted their food?
I have to show you, I'm going to send you the funniest video ever because that's exactly what happened. And okay. They had to make it the most insane thing to be able to stop this. It's hilarious. It's this person in, they live in Japan, I think, but I watch their videos all the time.
Okay. Yeah. Send it to me.
Yes,
after.
I will.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Here we come back. And we're back, and before we get into the next part, I want to know if you have found something that you're so obsessed with that other people need to know about.
Oh, my God. Like, probably everything, but I didn't realize this was going to be a question, and now I'm on the spot. Oh, my God. Take a breath. What is it?
I'll think of one, too.
Yeah, you,
so
okay.
So you can have some time.
I guess it's fine, because you can edit around this, and I can just think about it. Yes, I have mine.
Let's hear it.
I am obsessed with books, but as a book lover, I have too many fucking books everywhere. But libraries can be slightly inconvenient for people, especially with fees and all that shit. Anyway, there is an app called Libby that if you're in LA is amazing, and I'm pretty sure it's an nationwide thing. And you get a local library card, plug it in, and then you can get audiobooks, books that go to your Kindle. So you just read it on your Kindle and audiobooks and the whole thing. And even you can get some movies and stuff, but I will say it is a well-designed app. And the problem for me with most government things is it does not function. And this was clearly built by like a really good developer and it saved me so much. I canceled my Audible. I stopped buying like books that I knew that I didn't want to keep around.
Right.
And it's amazing and it's so good.
Ooh.
So it's called Libby. And then it's super easy. You can get a library card number without having to go to the library. So if you're one of those people who never wants to talk to a human or have that interaction, you can get library books without that.
That sounds incredible.
It's also helped my consumerism. I'm really trying to like cool it with the consumerism.
Yeah, let's talk about that because you've mentioned that a little bit ago and now you were saying you're trying not to buy, I think you were talking about clothes, but kind of in general, consumerism.
Yes. I don't know, something dawned on me recently that it's like, you know, you get through those things where you're like, oh, I'm going to Marie Kondo my life or I'm going to, and you find that you have to keep doing it over and over again. And then honestly, what it was, I read an article that it's raining plastic in the Arctic. And microplastic, because there's so much plastic everywhere. And it made me so sad. And then it made me start thinking about consumption in general. And like, when you really start thinking about it, it's like fast fashion, all this stuff. And the other thing I'll say is, I have always spent exactly the amount of money that I make. And so I've never felt like I have enough, or I'm like, even if you make more money, if you just spend all of that money, you'll always be chasing something. And the idea of like stopping that has really helped me focus on real things and real insecurities within me, because you can't like band-aid it.
Right.
But it's been intense.
I am so fascinated because I buy so much shit all the time.
What kind of stuff do you buy?
It's an interesting thing to eat.
Oh, interesting.
And I wonder if it's because if I am trying to like pinpoint where the source is, I was like moving around all the time when I was younger. And then when I moved to LA, I had zero, I had like a little bit of savings, but it was so hard to decorate. So all of my furniture was like from the street or from Goodwill. And then this, I guess, is kind of like where my like thrift flipping type of personality trait. Okay. Is that a personality trait? I guess it is. 23andMe, Megan DIYs. That's me. I think that's probably where it came from is like I had to constantly reinvent what I had or out of not a lot of money. And so now that I can kind of afford things or if I need like, I don't know, like a makeup holder or something, I'll just go off Amazon. I'll go, which is like the worst place.
Yes, Amazon. The other thing I've started doing, it's impossible to like, I mean, it's not impossible, but for me, it's very hard to just not use Amazon. But the thing I've started doing is leaving things in my cart for a week so that I don't get multiple boxes. I just get one box a week. Just everything. Like little stuff really matters. But more than, it's like the environment is a good motivator. But more than anything, I was just super tired of like the cycle that consumerism created in me. And I think most Western people don't realize how inundated we are in that. Of like, we're just taught to buy stuff. Branding is like, there's countries where brands and ads are outlawed for children like below five because it's not ethical to advertise to children. And so it's like, oh shit, what do we, we don't have a country that functions that way though.
That would be incredible. I didn't even think about that.
You should do it just as an experiment because I think in, I read a book recently called A Year of Less by Kate Flanders. And it's about her not buying anything for a year. And it really changed my perspective. And it really made me want to do this. And I've been like pretty dedicated to it ever since. And it's hard. It will blow your mind how hard it is at first. But now when I go into Target, I always have, they get you. Like right when you walk in, it's women's clothes because that's where people will spend the most money. And it's women who will, we're used to buying clothes all the time. And so I walk in and I still have that gut feeling. And then there's actually a really big sense of freedom of like, oh, I'm not buying clothes right now. And then I just go walk and do what I need.
Wow. I want to read this book so much. I'm like, I want to read it. Let me order it off Amazon.
Libby and read it in the library.
That's so true. What else have you found out about yourself by doing this, like trying to reduce your consumerism? What have you found out?
So it's actually helped me with my work. A lot of the things were masking insecurities that I had about work. It's like work, beauty. It's honestly, it's helped me talking about therapy in this episode. It's helped me discover a lot faster what my insecurities still are, like the ones that don't, that are kind of subconscious. It's like, oh, I'm afraid that I'm not a great writer or that I'm not going to be able to do this. So instead of working on my craft, I'll buy books about writing that I do not read. And so I started looking at the books I was buying and not reading. I started looking at everything of just like why, for instance, I saw that Phoebe Waller-Bridge was releasing all of this manuscripts of Fleabag. But I have scripts from everywhere. I could get those from my agent, but I wanted to buy it so badly. And I had, it was like in the UK and I was already like halfway through paying for international shipping when I was like, why am I doing this? And I realized the reason I was doing it was because I want to be like Phoebe Waller-Bridge. And instead of taking the time to do the craft, I was trying to buy a quick thing that would make me feel better and alleviate that stress and my deep hidden fear that maybe I'm not smart enough to be like her. So I'll just buy this thing real quick, you know?
Yeah, that's so profound. I have chills up and down my body.
It's really intense. And I think, honestly, it's one of the things that when I have this conversation with people, people do not have this conversation. We've started to talk about money more. We've talked about therapy more. We've like, but we don't talk about why we buy. I also watched this documentary called Minimalism on Netflix. And I've read their blog actually for like almost 10 years now. But one thing that they said is that minimalists actually value objects more than maximalists because each object they have, they profoundly care about. And in that book, she talks about how there's a few items that she knew she would need to replace, like winter was coming and she didn't have a proper like sweater that would get her through that. And she got rid of, I think, almost 60% of her possessions. And she said she searched for like 2.5 months for a sweater, but it was her favorite sweater and it's perfect and she's going to keep it forever. And so like you learn to cherish like what actually matters to you instead of like a Band-Aid. And so that's kind of the thing that it's taught me about myself. But it's hard. It confronts you every day, because I think the thing I used to do was just when I would feel bad about my spending is try and like track my spending, which is the same thing people do with their weight. Like, right. What exactly did I eat? But when I was tracking, why do I want to spend? Or for people, the same thing, why do I want to eat right now? Mm-hmm. It helps get rid of it a lot faster.
That is so, so smart. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I feel like my life is about to change. Like, yes. When I walk out of these doors, I'm going to try not to buy anything. Yeah. And if I do, I'm going to know why I'm buying it.
Text me. Let's talk about it, because I would love to talk. Let's fucking talk about it. People don't talk about this.
Please.
And it's something that I'm really super into right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think I buy something every single day.
I know, and you don't realize it.
Mm-mm.
And the thing is, when you... You will always feel like you don't have enough if you never curb that appetite for buying things to make yourself feel better. The mm-hmm. second you realize you don't need clothes to make you feel better or new clothes to make you feel better, you all of a sudden realize how much you have. And it brings gratitude. It brings space for all of the stuff that is actually important about being a human, instead of a new pair of Nikes to make you appear effortless.
That's the thing, too, for all the people that have Marie Kondo'd. I've done it so many times. Mm-hmm. Is what it feels like. I did mm-hmm. it when her book came out, and then I did it
then
when
the show.
I was like, okay, I get it, universe. I need to clean up. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like if everyone lived a little bit more like that, not saying like everyone needs to do yeah. that, because it's like just one inch further, mm-hmm. then you wouldn't have to Marie Kondo all the time. I love that it's a verb.
Exactly.
You wouldn't yeah. have to Marie Kondo all the time. And everything you like, I gravitate towards the same stuff. I mean, like,
yes.
I haven't worn these overalls in a while, but I was feeling this today. Mm-hmm. But I wear the same jeans. I have one good pair of jeans.
Yes.
And I wear them all the time.
And the thing is, now I have significantly less stuff in my closet and in my life. Even pens. For some reason, I had so many pens. Now I have like, I don't know, I probably had hundreds of pens, and now I have like one mug full of pens. But every pen I grab makes me happy
yeah.
and is a good pen and works. And like, and then I won't buy pens like that I don't need. You know what I mean? Like it, and it can be the same with every object you own.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the biggest thing that was hard for me actually was the book thing, which is brings it back to why I found Libby. Because for me, I had an insecurity my whole life that like I wasn't smart enough. And so
same.
Books became this thing that I bought to be like, I'm smart. But then I found out I wasn't even reading them. And so it's like, realizing those things about yourself, like what do you buy to hide a hurt feeling?
So, so special of a nugget when you get to the bottom
yeah.
of it. When you get to the source, you're like, oh my God, this
oh
was there
God.
This whole time?
Yeah, and then you have to talk to your therapist.
Look at this. So full circle. Oh my God, I'm getting so many good ideas.
Yay.
I want to do one more section.
Yes.
And then we can wrap it all up, but I could talk forever about
Yay.
All of this.
We'll just be friends and talk about it.
Yeah, sounds perfect. I want to end with a section called Tip Jar.
Great.
The people write in suggestions, but I may change some of these because of our conversation so far.
Yeah, yeah.
But the rule of the game is you can only use three words.
If
I'm trying to think of a different, I do the same one. We can cut this out if it's so annoying to hear. But an example is if the suggestion was Los Angeles, then the three words only would be
never take 405.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You get it.
Yeah. I'm here.
Okay, great. So I am going to change all of these.
Great.
Thanks for sending them in. It's my show. Three words only mm-hmm. about the entertainment industry. Ooh. I'm going to make it even further.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Three words only about what you wish someone told you before getting into the entertainment industry. Three words only before getting into this industry. And we'll both take a turn.
Not all real.
Oh, yeah. That's really good. I think I want to say find good people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think that would help.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What about poems? You've been writing a lot of poetry.
I've been writing poems.
They're so good.
Thank you.
Oh.
I've just been doing whatever art I want to do. So poems.
Yes, but before,
yeah.
Now I want to ask another question.
Yeah.
Is Have you always written poems?
Or? No, no. Well,
oh my God, and you're just good at it all of a sudden?
Here's the thing. I wrote about like 116 poems about this girl I had a crush on in high school, and they're in a book that was supposed to keep track of my piano time that I was practicing, and instead I used it to write secret poems about this girl. And then somebody told me that poems were stupid, and then I stopped doing it.
Oh, man.
And then I was like in this new period of my life where I've been realizing that like, no, everybody is creative, everyone's an artist, and everyone has a right to try whatever they want. I was like, oh, I want to write a poem. And then I started doing it, and I really liked it.
They're so good.
Thank you. Thank you. That means a lot to me. It's probably like the thing that I've been doing poems and painting.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I've been eating pasta.
Poems, painting, and pasta. It's our new podcast.
The Triple P Babies. Yeah. Triple P BBs 63.
Yeah.
It's poems. Yes. You have
three
words only of advice of poetry or poems.
Already inside you. Mm-hmm. I love this podcast.
Thanks.
Can I come back?
Absolutely.
Okay, cool.
You should, because the second time people come back, it's a full hour of question and answer from Instagram on one topic.
Oh my God, yes.
Okay, you would be incredible.
Yay.
Okay, look out for that. Let's see. I saw a meme the other day. It wasn't a meme. I call everything a meme I see on the internet. It's not true.
It was like a BBC news article.
I saw this meme. Oh my God.
Some documentarian like put their whole life's work into something. You're like, oh my God, I saw a meme. It was like so good. It was like Baby Yoda, but like talking about war.
Can you believe it? It said something. It was on one of those poetry Instagram accounts. Mm-hmm. And I think all it said was, everyone is a poet when they're in love.
Oh, that's true.
So true.
That is very true.
I don't write poems, but I've written diary entries that are only like 4 to 8 lines long. And I'm like, that's, I guess, a poem, but it's just like the most emotion in the shortest amount of time.
Yeah.
Which I love.
Because you have to get it out. There's nothing like being in love. It's like really the weirdest thing in the world.
I know. Well, it's like, I don't even remember the last time I was in love, but I mean, just like feeling so deeply, even if it's like a forbidden love or frustration, but that has love as the underpinning of it.
Oh, yeah. Unrequited love is my main jam for like 25 years.
My poetry tip, it's not really a tip, but a piece of advice about poems is follow poetry accounts.
Yeah.
I really love that on Instagram.
Me too. Yeah. I also have stopped following brands as much.
Oh, like what kind of brands were you following?
Just brand anything that sells me something. Mm. I started following artists.
I created a separate Instagram account just to follow like poetry and therapy and psychology accounts and
that's
health.
Great.
But I never go on it.
Yeah, that's the
so
thing.
I just
it's
need
gotta
to
be in your
my,
feed.
Yeah. I gotta do it for my main account. Okay. Let's see. What three words as advice do you have for writing? In general, whether it's like
It's not long enough. It's one extra word.
You can just add damn it to anything if you don't have enough words.
No, I have an extra word.
I have an extra word for mine too.
Let's see. Hold on. Oh, I have mine. Failure is data.
Fun. Oh, that's like a one time I half read a neurolinguistic programming book. I hate saying that because it hurts my face.
Yeah.
Neuro-linguistic programming.
That's why you gotta say it in like a British accent.
Neuro-linguistic programming.
They don't use their lips as much.
That's true.
Neuro-linguistic.
That sounds so good.
What is it?
So
neuro-linguistic
good.
What?
Programming.
A neuro-linguistic programming book. Say NLP, it like the queen.
Yeah, right? That they were talking about how failure is feedback. And that is so true. I love it. Okay, my writing tip is... It's hard because I want to do two and they're very separate.
Do both. This is your fucking podcast, my friend.
My fucking pod.
This is your fucking podcast.
I was going to say write for you because I wanted to say like write what you want to read.
Yeah. Oh, but that is the best advice. We're breaking the rules of this, but
it
doesn't matter.
I'm going to take more words.
Yeah.
I can do what I want. Can you imagine a world where I've created that I can do whatever I want?
I mean, that's the world everyone should live in.
My last question, you can use more than three words if you want.
What was your second one? You had a second one.
My second one was going to be right for them, like right for your reader.
Oh, okay.
Right, like with your reader
both,
in mind.
Right, it's for you, right for them.
I think it's like write what you would want to read, but keep your reader in mind.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, that I was guess. A big BuzzFeed thing. We only like created content. You're like not allowed to create content unless you know who the audience is or who your hypothesis of who the audience is.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's very, bleh.
Right. That's what I feel about my YouTube channel. It's like, I just am doing whatever I want. It's just like, there's no kind of streamlined anything. We'll get there 2020. I guess this is out in 2020.
That's a shirt. We'll get there 2020. Please. Okay, I need two shirts. I need,
okay,
even though I'm trying not to buy things.
I'll just gift them to you.
Okay, thank you.
My last question for you is a question for you, to you. So if you could give one piece of advice to your younger self, any age you want, from where you are now.
People ask this a lot, but I recently saw a Vogue 73 questions of Olivia Colman where they said, what would you say to your 16-year-old self? Oh, and no. She said, look at me, I'm time traveling. No, it was, look at me, I'm back in time. And
I'm so upset that I didn't think of that. That's how when you know something is good, when you're like, damn it, I suck.
I know, that's so funny. What the fuck would I say to my 16-year-old self? 16? Did I just
whatever
make that
you
up?
Want. You can be 16.
Now I'm just having fun. So my thought was, you're good, kid.
That's perfect.
That's it.
I really wish, oh my God.
It just seems so deep, but it's not, and you'll live. Here's the thing I've been thinking about recently. This is probably more than you want, but you can cut it. Entropy, I've been really into, like, thermodynamics as, like, this bigger thing. And I think the second law of thermodynamics is entropy, the fact that everything decays.
Uh-huh.
But it's really, like, actually a nice thing because what it means is everything changes. And so no matter where you are in your life, where you're like, oh my God, I can't do this. I'm never going to be out of this phase in my life when I'm awkward and no one likes me and I can't find love. The universe has to change. Life itself, matter has to change. You will change and you will end up in a place 10 years from now that you could not possibly imagine yourself in. And so just like chill, just wait and it'll change.
I love that. I saw another meme. It was like on one of those therapy accounts. And it was like what the student, I don't know if it is called student, but I'll say it for this. What the student calls the end of the world, the master. I want to die when I can't remember anything. Hold on. I want to find it. Can you cut all of this out and wait until I sound smart?
No, leave it in. Leave it in. Leave it exactly at, I'm going to count the time that it takes Megan to do this. It's 4:05.
Here. What the caterpillar, that was quick.
What the caterpillar?
What the caterpillar calls the end of the world, the master calls a butterfly.
Aww,
because that feels,
that's true.
Yeah, when you cocoon and you feel like the world is just eating you alive,
mm-hmm.
and then you come out the other way better in your final form.
I love that. You need to tell me all these accounts.
Oh my God, I will hook you up.
Yay!
Where can people find you on the internet if they want way more of you, everyone should have
They can
more
find
of you.
Me basically everywhere at ITS Ashley Perez, Ashley without an E.
How was that growing up?
I'll tell you, but I can't tell you on the, it's
sure.
It's my stage name, and it's so that people won't like fully Google me and shit.
Oh, so you did it.
Yeah, I just did it. Because I love Barbara Streisand, and Barbara Streisand took an A out of her name just because she wanted to be different.
Oh.
And now she's only Barbara. That's that way, except now everybody does that. But that was dumb because nobody calls their child Barbara.
Barbara.
So she just took out the excess.
I love it. If you guys have any sticky situations or burning concerns, guys and gals, call us at 805-751-9071. You give us your age and we'll do a bang up job like we did on this episode.
We really did.
Congrats. I'm so proud of us. We should celebrate the small victories.
I think we deserve an Emmy.
Thank you, one per each of us.
If anybody is listening, give us an Emmy.
Even if it's yours, just give it to us.
Someone's going to send us an Emmy.
Can't wait. Cleaning off my shelves. See you next week on Just a Tip. Bye.
Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.